The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
Welcome back. We continue following a number of different stories. David Ubben later on. We've already had the commissioner of the West Coast Conference on. Blake Topmeyer started off. A lot of you just heard from Tyler Horka from Blue and Gold on Notre Dame's apparently now backup quarterback, Tyler Buckner, looking perhaps to Alabama. He's in the portal. According to Blue and Gold, he's heading to Alabama. Now there apparently is some new information that we're about to share with you. Ricky Green was here recently. Ricky Green is a journalist who covers the University of Alabama football and recruiting. He has a recruiting channel on YouTube, and he contributes to other entities as well. Ricky, welcome back. Thank you for joining us. We talked to you a few weeks ago about some situations in Alabama. You're back now. Apparently, first of all, let's talk about Buckner. Take us through what you know at this hour.
So I think it was Tom Lloyd that originally reported the fact that Buckner was in the portal and there was some interest in Alabama. So we had confirmed that he was visiting Alabama. But I talked to a source a few moments ago that is as close to this situation as you can possibly be. And according to this source, he will also visit Auburn. And then there was two more schools that are going to be in the mix. His sister is a student at Cal right now. They'll be in the mix, and then Stanford finished second in his recruitment out of high school, so I'm told that they will be in the mix as well. Alabama, Auburn, Cal, and Stanford.
So we believe, and I know you've already reported this, that he's heading to Alabama first. Are you suggesting that he's going from Alabama to Auburn?
It's altogether possible, Paul. Haven't confirmed exactly, you know, times when he'll be there or what time he'll be with coaches. But from what I gathered, the source that I spoke to, it seems like he will first visit with Alabama and then leave and head to the Plains to visit with Auburn.
We understand the Alabama connection. That's self-explanatory. Tommy Reese recruited him to Notre Dame. And they work together very well. We heard Tyler Horka tell us that Tommy Reese identified him years ago in California as his guy. He wanted him to come to Notre Dame and be the starting quarterback. What's the connection to Auburn?
You know, I don't even know if there is a connection as far as someone that's in the Auburn program that they have ties to or not. It may just be Hugh Freeze. You know, Hugh has always been able to get the most out of a quarterback, whether you like him or not, is a completely different story. But his offenses are always dynamic. He seems to get the most out of his quarterback. And you know that I bleed crimson and white, but Hugh is a coach that would naturally be intriguing if you're a quarterback in the portal. And I guess maybe it's just one of those deals where he's going to Alabama and might as well visit Auburn while he's down here. I just know that Hugh is a great quarterback coach. He develops them very well, and I would imagine that it's tied to the development that he might get from Hugh Freeze.
Ricky, let's pause him for just a second. You watched the spring game and had a lot to say about it in the aftermath. What were your impressions of the two quarterbacks?
Really the same, you know, that you and I talked about prior to A-Day, Paul. Neither one of them did enough in that A-Day game, scrimmage, whatever you want to call it, to separate themselves from the other. As far as physical prowess goes or quarterback ability goes. But I will say that I noticed the way that the coaches and players interacted with Jalen Milroe on the sideline was much different than the way that they interacted with Ty when he was on the sideline. It looks to me like Jalen Milroe has the job for this season. Now, that could change. We all know college football is fluid, but right now it looks like Jalen Milroe. I will tell you that Ty Simpson sustained a injury to his thumb on his throwing hand in the first drive of the 8A game. sprained his UCL, hit it on another teammate's helmet. So I don't know if that's going to be something that's going to cause.
Yeah, I heard today, Ricky, that he either had surgery or had whatever he needed to be done, and it was going to affect him for a couple of weeks. So I think that is a temporary situation. Back to the situation with Buckner. If you're Jalen Milroe and you seemingly have won the job, nobody's confirmed that, but your impressions, and you're not the only one with that impression, how in the world could you possibly take the news today of what we are talking about right now?
I know that if it was me and I'm not Jalen Milroe, I would not take it very well at all. I wouldn't take it well if I was Jalen or Ty, and I'm sitting here thinking about it, and we're looking at a transfer quarterback, which will most likely cause a transfer out of Alabama if this whole situation comes to fruition and we end up seeing Buckner headed to Tuscaloosa. I just don't think that it's a good situation all the way around, and I would hate to be one of the four scholarship quarterbacks at Alabama that are now having to consider this situation.
Well said, Ricky. If indeed it happens, and we don't know, I mean, we're just you. I mean, you know what you know in relation to his movements, but you don't know what he will do. But presumably, it's hard to imagine that you go in the portal, you reunite with your former coach who recruited you, and you're not intrigued by sitting there talking to your friend and former coach and Nick Saban, the greatest coach of all time. So that would lead to believe that there's a lot of fire out there.
Yep. You know, they say where there's smoke, there's fire, and there's definitely some smoke boiling out of Tuscaloosa, Alabama right now.
Well, Ricky, we're here all day. Keep us posted if you hear anything else.
All right. I got you, Paul. Thanks, man.
Ricky Green with the latest. If this twist could get any stranger, I don't think it's possible. Not only is he presumably visiting with Alabama later today, but Ricky says his source, impeccable, his words, says he's also going to Auburn. Susie is up next in Georgia. Hello, Susie.
Geez, Paul, I can't take it all in.
I have vertigo just listening to all this.
And then you put Matt and AC in there, and we're really discombobulated. I wanted to thank Bill from Alabama, what a good friend, to call and let us know about cheerleader. You know, I had thought recently she hadn't called in since the bracket thing.
No, it's been
that
a while.
I can
yeah,
remember.
You're right.
And I had thought about her, and I certainly will put her in my prayers. And Bill, I just want to say to you and your wife, what good friends, that she's got someone to turn to, because, you know, we don't know her family situation or whatever, but to have someone to go rehab with, especially your best friend. And then Larry, I want to thank Squirrel for letting us know about Larry. Does Larry have family, Paul, that, you know?
Yeah,
think about him in the hospital.
I mean, I know he lost a daughter. At one point he had an ex-wife that I think they were friendly, but I don't know beyond. He's got a son. I believe I've talked to the son before.
Okay. So you haven't heard anything more, though, whether he's still hospitalized or he's come home?
No, not at all.
Okay. Well, Larry, and if Squirrel's in touch with them, you know, Squirrel, please let him know that, you know, the Paul Feinbaum family certainly think of both these people. And other than that, I wanted to say, did you watch any of the baseball from Tennessee last weekend?
Sadly, no. But one of my close friends was there for all the games, and I got a complete and total report today from him.
Oh, my gosh. Friday night's game was amazing in extra innings. It really was.
Yeah, he said it was one of the best games he's ever been to.
Oh, it really, really was. I mean, it just, you know, for them to take all three games, that was exciting. And I was in Knoxville. I didn't go to the games. I wish I had, but I did hiking and that. So, but one last question on the portal. Once you go into the portal, and they said, yeah, you could go back to your college if you want to. How many times can you go to the portal?
Yeah, I think dipping in the portal is okay. I don't know I don't know that many. Basketball is different, where you can take it pretty far in basketball and come back with, but you're not in the portal. What I mean by that is you can declare for the NBA and then come back. But I don't think there's a. I don't know. I've never heard of anybody dipping in the portal, coming back, and then dipping somewhere else in the same calendar period.
Did the quarterback at California last year, the one that won the Heisman, had he been in the portal more than one time?
No, you're talking about Caleb Williams. He's just simply the second that Lincoln Riley took the job. He was gone, as were many of his teammates. Thanks for the call. Up against the break, been a busy afternoon. We are still open for business. More guests, more phone calls. We come right back.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hey, welcome back. Greg is up next in Ohio. Hello, Greg.
Hi, Paul. How are you today?
We are great. Thank you.
Saturday, my wife and I were at the Notre Dame spring game.
Sure.
And there was a heck of a comparison between Hartman and Buckner. So hearing that, you know, he was transferring or potentially transferring, not actually a surprise. In fact, he got booed on his second time coming out into the stands.
Greg, you're serious. I mean, Notre Dame fans booed one of their own quarterbacks?
I know. I found that very alarming. You know, they're all there to compete, and I get it. I understand it. But Hartman was just miles ahead of them, not even close. And considering Hartman's only been there, you know, really a couple months compared to 2 years with Buckner, pretty amazing.
And Buckner started the last – I don't know if he started, but he came in and won the bowl game for Notre Dame. So that was the last time we saw him.
Yeah, but he also almost lost that bowl game.
Well, I was going to leave that out.
Yeah, in fact, I can see me on TV. There's a little bit of a delay now. But great talking to you. And
thank you.
Thank you for taking my call.
You bet.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Listen, I just take the calls. I don't come up with the content. Stan is in Mississippi. Hello, Stan.
Hey, Paul. It's Stan. Response to the guy from Georgia that was talking about Saban being worried about he freeze.
Right.
You spot on. All Saban's worried about is his clone son over there at Athens Kirby. That's the only coach that he's concerned about in America is his clone.
And listen, nobody needs to take that the wrong way, but the Auburn-Alabama rivalry is really a figment of people's imagination. I grew up in my career on it, but when Saban – with Saban winning so many national championships, the game's always important. Saban has struggled in the game, especially in Auburn. That's a fact. It's his Achilles heel. However, his Kirby Smart is the one threatening his status right now in college football. Hugh Freeze is not.
Right. Yeah, and Saban knows he created that monster.
Oh, yeah, no, it's,
you know, he knows. Yeah.
I mean, losing to Hugh Freeze was upset Nick Saban so badly that he tried to hire Hugh Freeze.
Here's some sad news for the guy from Georgia. Now, in saying this, I think Hugh Freeze, his story of redemption is great, and I personally like him, okay?
Yeah.
But he was 14-17 in the SEC West. He was 2-3 against Alabama. And those were records back when Hugh Freeze was doing NIL before NIL was legal. Okay? I mean, let's just call it what it is. You know, he was 14-17, 2-3 against Alabama. Now, you give up all the forfeits, and I don't even know what the record is. You know, maybe 1-3 that really counted. But that's a losing record, period. So, the guy over there that's the Auburn fan, he needs to pump his brakes a little bit. And one other quick thing, I'll leave you alone. I don't think Saban's going to throw a poison pill up in his quarterback room before fall. If this kid had come prior to spring, I believe he would take him and give him an opportunity to compete.
Yeah, I do too. And by the way, and Sam Hartman was there. This guy rolled the dice on winning the job, and he came up with nothing.
Right.
And so, I don't know why he thought that, because Sam Hartman was one of the best quarterbacks in college football last year. He was never going to lose the job.
Exactly. And had Hartman come to Alabama before spring, Saban would have took him in a heartbeat.
Anybody would have taken him.
Yeah, anybody would have. But I just don't believe Saban is weak-minded enough to throw a poison pill up into his – just like that reporter told you a while ago. Now, me personally, here's how I think this thing will go down. I think Milroe is going to start the season, but I think Simpson will end it. Simpson did get his hand hurt in that first quarter.
Yeah, he did.
And still played decent. Stan,
we had a guy on yesterday, yeah. Mike Rodak, who said if you forget the stats, he was more impressed with what Simpson did against the competition, and Milroe's stats were padded. I mean, his last touchdown was against walk-ons. Now, I'm not saying anybody can score against walk-ons. That's an insult. Those are good players. They're just not Alabama first-team quality, but that's a deception. Thank you for the call. Jeff is in Columbus. Hello, Jeff.
What's going on, Paul?
Oh, Jeff, we're just having a great time here.
Yeah, I've got to ask you an honest question, Paul, and I've never asked you this before, so I'm being totally serious when I ask you this. Are you sensing that things are slowly starting to unravel in Tuscaloosa and some panic is setting in? Do you think that?
I think there is a level of concern.
Because I have to admit, I'm starting to side with I-Man. These last couple of weeks have almost been bizarre if any of these reports are true. I mean, if they're chasing that Notre Dame quarterback, you just said it. Hell, Saban might roll the dice and end up with nothing if he's not careful. And I think Saban is realizing, obviously, Georgia and Kirby Smart, you know, are the kingpin right now, and he doesn't like it, which is understandable, but I think he knows it when he's honest with himself, and I think he's not too nervous yet about Auburn, but I think he's starting to get a little nervous about LSU and Brian Kelly down there, because Brian Kelly can win at a big-time level, and has proved it with talent he's going to be able to bring in at LSU. And I think the other thing is, hell, Saban has admitted it. I don't think he's truly comfortable with this NIL and portal situation. I think that's where he's starting to panic, because I'm wondering if he is comfortable. I mean, how can you be a manager and you're in a situation when you're not comfortable? You know what I mean?
Well, I don't think he's comfortable either, but he's also smart, and it's a reality, and I think the reality is that he didn't want Tyler Buchner. There are a couple of players he wanted. I think if you put him, if you put some truth serum in Nick Saban, he thought number one, last year he had a shot at Arch Manning. That train passed. Secondly, he thought he could get Drake Mays away from North Carolina, who originally committed to Alabama. He failed there. There are a couple other quarterbacks out there. This is pre-portal. He thought he could get, and he's finding out that everyone out there is throwing money around. And as unique as Alabama may be on one level, it may not be unique enough to get players out of where they are. And there's also a Miami quarterback he thought he had a shot at. So I think he's missed on a lot of players.
Right. And that's where I'm just reading between the lines a little bit, Paul. When you miss enough times like that, I don't care what business you're in. When you're making big, high-level decisions like that, because a quarterback at Alabama in D1 football, big-time D1 football, that's a major, quote-unquote, corporate decision. And I'm just wondering if he's starting to, you know, lose some of his confidence that he's able to deal in this new world. I don't think Urban Meyer could exist in this. He'd be getting so pissed off with guys leaving. I think Urban Meyer would lose his mind, and I'm wondering if when he looks in the mirror,
that Nick Saban adapted. That's why he had the recruiting season that he did. He doesn't like it though. No, there's no way when you hear Nick Saban talk about NIL. He may be a great communicator, but you can see right through him that he says it with disgust.
Right, and I'm the little bit I've seen of Milroe, Paul. I guess the thing that's bizarre to me is if it's true that Saban and the staff doesn't think they've got a quarterback there they can win with, I think Milroe's better than Blake Sims ever was. Hell, I know Ohio State beat them in the semis, but still, they got to the semifinals and had a shot. And really, is Milroe that much worse than what Hurts was as like a sophomore?
I had somebody tell me inside that program that they felt Milroe was behind all those guys. But that's, you know, you're looking at Milroe in the middle of his tenure versus Blake Sims at the end. And I don't know the answer to that. But the one thing that I do know is if you bring this other guy in and he doesn't win the job, you've created a disaster.
That was what I was saying. He may try to, you know, make this happen, and he's going to, you know, like you said, he's not going to strike.
And by the way, if this happens, let's say it happens tonight, Milroe might be out of there tomorrow.
I agree.
There's a place very prominent.
Exactly. Hey, and how many games, though, did Hurts win, I think, his sophomore year with his legs when they were behind in the second half? And he would do that quarterback draw.
Oh, he was amazing.
That's what I don't. If Milroe wasn't following up the quarterbacks he's been following up, I'm pretty comfortable they would be more comfortable with him.
Jalen Hurts never got the credit for it, but he won Alabama national championship in 2016. The defense let it get away at the end of the game. He just scored too quickly.
Right.
But he brought them back.
I mean, I don't think he ever got the credit he deserved early in his career there, but I don't know. I just think it's getting more and more bizarre, in my opinion, and I'm just sensing that things are starting to unravel a little bit. Like you've always said, towards the end of a coach's career, a legend's career, there's certain signs you look for, and I'm starting to feel things are starting to unravel as an outsider looking in.
Well, I think your assessment is accurate to a point. Unravel is a big word, and you know, we're in the sausage making process right now. How does this week end for Nick Saban? And that helps us determine what will happen next. One thing that will happen next is that we are taking a break, and we're coming right back to get more of your reaction. David Ubben on the draft and how colleges prepare players for the draft. Some do a lot better job than others. After an in-depth study, we're back with more.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained,
poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Welcome back. Dale is up next. Dale, good afternoon. Thank you for joining us.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
We are well. Thank you.
So Todd from Alabama. This is Dale from Colorado. Dion wants his cowboy hat that you stole from him back. And if Alabama is lucky enough to make it to the SEC championship, Georgia would curb stomp y'all, punk. Goodbye, Paul.
Thank you. That's the kind of friendly call that I've been missing lately. Lee is up next in South Carolina. Lee, thank you. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. How are you?
I am well. Hope you are.
I had a talk with you about 5 weeks ago prior to me having some open heart surgery.
Yes, tell us.
And I just wanted to call and tell you I made it through that. And two main things on my recovery have been my wonderful wife and your show.
Well, Lee, thank you for sharing that. Not that I have any interest in following what you're doing, but how was it? It sounds terrible.
It was.
and it has been,
and I had to go back into the hospital with congestive heart failure for him to get some fluids out. And I've told my wife several times that if I had it to do over and I knew how it's going to be, I think I'd have just took my chances on a heart attack.
Lee, tell me this. I grew up with heart disease with my dad, and fortunately, I did not carry on that gene. But what happens in open heart surgery? I mean, what exactly do they do?
Well, they cut you from about the base of your throat down close to your belly button, and they crack your chest open. And in my case, they actually did what they call a quintuple bypass. It was so they did a five-way. But some of the other things that people don't think about when you start talking about the heart, they have to take those veins out of your leg and out of your arm.
Oh.
And like the spot where they took it out of my arm, it's that whole side of that hand just stays numb. Now, the doctor says it's eventually going to straighten itself out, but the recovery is not what I anticipated, because they had told me I was going to feel like a new man when I came out, and I feel like I've been dropped off a bridge and missed the water.
And when you say crack your chest open, that's exactly what they do.
Exactly. Yep. If you looked at it on YouTube, you'd see it. I mean, they put a rib spreader in there, and they crack it open, and then they staple it back together with these metal clips, which is going to post, you know, that's hidden underneath. And that's supposed to help it grow back together. But, I mean, the doctors told me clearly don't pick up anything over 10 or 15 pounds at all until we tell you.
And Lee, at what point do you start to feel like a semi-human being again?
I don't know that one yet.
Okay.
I know that listening to the show, and I heard about Larry being in the hospital, I was thinking about him, and listening to the show, and of course I always have enjoyed it and always have laughed, it certainly has helped.
That's great.
She's made sure I was able to listen to it every day. If I wasn't able to watch it, I was able to listen to it. And it's been a blessing to me. And I just wanted to share that with you.
We are so grateful to hear that. And please stay in touch and keep us posted.
We will do that.
Thank you, Lee.
Great evening.
You bet. Thank you very much. He said many years ago, everybody's heard of the famed orthopedic surgeon, James Andrews. He had come to Birmingham, and he allowed me, not long after he got there, to spend the day with him just to do one of these in-depth profiles. And I'm pretty squeamish. And I went into surgery with him, obviously dressed to the part. And they were doing a knee replacement. This is 30 years ago, and things were pretty arcane. And they literally like sawed some guy's knee off. I mean, I was like, what is this noise? And he said, well, we got to cut the bone. I'm not talking about like a chainsaw that you would use in your front yard to cut down a tree, but it was pretty similar. And I mean, and that's why I thought of that when Lee talked about cracking your heart. I mean, you just don't, you know, this is not laser surgery. I mean, you have to, I mean, you're talking about body parts that are rock hard. Anyway, so glad to hear that he is doing better. Let's continue with Johnny B. up next. Hello, Johnny B.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
After listening to Lee there, man, it just makes you thankful. And with Larry and everybody else, all these, you know, health conditions, it's just, I'm proud to, I'm praying for them, and I'm just glad that, you know, I'm upright and doing good and able to call in. And I have listening to Dustin earlier, and I got on my phone, and I can't find any kind of a Babbel app for AC, Dwayne, Matt, or Jim. That's it doesn't seem like Babbel has anything to help us on interpreting those calls.
No, there is not a Babbel app. I am currently working on a patent, though, and it will be announced. It will be announced next week that I have the patent on the Psycho Babbel app, and if you'd like to join me, we will all be zillionaires one day.
Sure, put me in. Okay. Hey, earlier you were talking about the NIL, and you know somebody that's handling all that money has to have some kind of administrative fees or something. But I found out something else very interesting that I'd like to share with the audience about the NIL. There's two different kinds. You have a for-profit and a not-for-profit. And the not-for-profit collectives that attain that status under the IRS, the group will be tax-exempt and potentially allow the benefactors to receive tax deductions for their payments. But the go-to model now is the tax-exempt collective, and it involves the athletes picking a charity to provide their service in exchange for NIL payments from collectives. So, you know, it's essentially the bag man and all this stuff, you know, giving somebody a job holding the water hose 5 minutes. It's just all been made legal now. It's
yeah,
so
Johnny B., the ones the school announced, all those, they're great. But I think it's the other ones where the real money is, wouldn't you think?
Yes, sir. Hey, in Congress, you know, we've been mentioning Congress getting involved. You know good and well when it comes to these tax-exempt things and moving money around, they're the experts in that for sure.
Oh, yeah, they know how to bury funds. Hey, JB, thank you for the call. We appreciate it very much. We head to the break. We've had a busy show, a lot of news breaking and some more there could be, and we come back with more of your phone calls after this.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Welcome back. We have more guests coming up as we get closer to the NFL draft. So there's been so many questions this week after a squirrel informed us that our friend Larry had been admitted to the hospital from suffering some heart conditions. We believe we have tracked down that story. Larry, good afternoon.
Hey, man, what up, Jack? Yeah. I went in Saturday last week and couldn't breathe. I just thought maybe they might give me some oxygen or something. And so they admitted me and did a bunch of work on my heart and kept me 3 days. And so, it was a little more serious than what I thought. And then we got through evaluating and everything, so it was a mild heart attack. And I didn't really think it was, but whatever the doctor said, you know. But that's what it was. And so Saturday I was in there and I was watching. I got my phone and that nurse is putting an IV in my arm and I'm trying to watch the damn Mayday game. And, you know.
Now, Larry, I'm not being funny here, but did they discover you had the heart attack before, during, or after watching two quarterbacks' performance?
After they evaluated everything. And everything, they did everything you could think of, Paul. They did the cameras 15 this way, 15 that way. They did a test where they shoot the stuff in your veins.
Die, yeah.
And you're talking about, oh, my God. And they really did a jam-up job, and that's what they said. I mean, that's what the doctor said. He looked at it, and he come in Monday, and I wanted to go and come home because my dog. And so I told him, I need to go today. And he said, well, you know, you had a little bump on the bottom of a heart attack. And I said, well, thank God I'm alive, and I appreciate y'all.
So Larry, a mild heart attack. You've had heart attacks before.
Yeah, I had four one day. That's hard to believe, ain't it?
And you're still alive.
Yeah, I had four. My fibrillator went off four times in one day, and that's a heart attack. When it goes off, you having one. There ain't no questions if and well. No, you had one. Boom, and that thing goes off. It's like you see on TV where they go clear, and they put them things on you, and they push that button. That's what that is.
So, Larry, you're at the same hospital, I presume?
What?
You were at the same hospital as last time?
No. I was at a different one.
Okay.
I just, different one. But, you know, that guy that called, I was just listening to him. I was out of my truck walking around a little pond over there. And I was wanting to get, I had to get some kind of exercise, but I got to move around something. And I heard that guy, man, God bless him. You know, he's listening to your show, shows how, and Lisa out there, thank you, hon, for taking those pictures of my heart. Her husband loves you, Paul. And anyway, she's a nurse. She took the pictures
did you behave in the hospital while you were having a heart attack? I mean, you didn't cause any trouble, did you?
Talk to Paul.
Larry, you there?
It is a weekend. I forgot it was a weekend.
I mean, I don't know why, Larry. I just see you in the cardiac care unit, and you're on the phone telling one of your buddies to bring a six-pack in the unit.
I know. You know, it's a blessing. Man, I'm lucky to be alive. You know what, Paul Feinbaum, you talking about those years ago when they did that heart surgery on me and they cut me right down the middle. They crack you open like a chicken. Pop! Crack your ribs open and lay it all out there, baby. Lay it all out there.
Well, Larry, do us this favor here. Listen to what the guy said, the doctor said. Listen to the nurses. Don't be your own person here and try to get better.
Yeah, man. I wish that nurse let me watch some of the A-Day game. I didn't think it was that bad, Paul. She was injecting me, you know,
Larry, stop. You didn't think it was that bad, but you were under anesthesia and you were under the knife at the time, so you may not have been lucid.
They can't put you under a stage. This is when I first went in there Saturday morning, and then on around when A-Day game coming too, she was putting a needle in my arm when they went and put me in the hospital.
Was this before or after Milroe's pick six? We are officially out of time for this program. We appreciate all of you for being a part of it. Some really interesting guests today. We'll see you right here tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network beginning at 3 Eastern.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.